This is the Bible study series, How Then Shall We Now Live? I'm Andrew Corbett, and we're looking at study number 7 based on Romans chapter 15, verses 1 to 3. It's entitled, Be a People Builder. Well, as I have said in each of the other coaching audios, I encourage you with your small group to start the session off, whether it's an evening or an afternoon or morning, whenever you're meeting, with some refreshments, which provides the opportunity for people just to engage with each other, just to chat and to get to know each other. It's a great way just to start the meeting. And then when that's done, move into a separate space, whether it be a lounge room or to the dining table or something like that, where you can begin the study. And again, one of the things I encourage you to do, again, with the idea of developing the community and camaraderie among the group, and that is to ask two questions, which you'll just note down. One is, what are you thankful for? And the second is, what would you like prayer for? At the end of the night, remind the group, this is what each one has asked prayer for, and ask people to pick one of those points, one of those prayer points, and pray so that everyone who has shared a prayer request has their prayer request prayed for. This is looking at Be a People Builder, and the opening paragraph, I again would just encourage you, invite someone to read it. It says this, for any church to grow, it has to be focused on helping people grow. Paul's epistle to the Romans describes that journey as 1, coming to recognize who we are before God, 2, that despite this, God has extended his redeeming love toward us. 3, we receive God's gracious offer by putting our trust in Christ as our Savior. 4, after calling on the name of the Lord for salvation, we surrender our lives to him so that our minds can be renewed and we can use the gifts God has given us. 5, we become committed to a local church where we can serve others together, keyword together. Question 1, and this is a little bit of a different format. We've got 5 options on the left and 5 options on the right, and we're looking for people to match up the right column to the left column. So it says this, match the journey of growth described by the Apostle Paul throughout Romans in the left column with its implication from the right column. So that opening paragraph is restated here, and the implications are in the right column. So the first one, point 1, coming to recognize who we are before God, and that is number 3, sinners estranged from God. That despite this, God has extended his redeeming love toward us. Number 1, the Father sent his Son to die on our behalf in our place. Point 3, we receive God's gracious offer by putting our trust in Christ as our Savior. So we've got point 2, salvation is by grace through faith in Christ, not our own efforts. Point 4, after calling on the name of the Lord for salvation, we surrender our lives to him so that our minds can be renewed and we can use the gifts God has given us. And that's, let's have a look here. That's point 5. Following Christ involves a transformation in how we think, channel our feelings, and see our fellow man. Point 5, we become committed to a local church where we can serve others together. Point 4, on the other side, in the right column, the local church is this. Okay, so question number 2, those who have made good progress along this journey of growth toward Christ likeness are described by Paul in Romans chapter 15 verse 1 as, and this is a sort of fill in the blanks. So Romans chapter 15 verse 1 says this, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. So those who have made some progress along the journey of Christ-likeness are described as strong. Question 3. What challenge does Paul give these believers in Romans chapter 15, verse 1. And the challenge is to bear with those who are weak, especially to bear with their failings. So it takes a strong believer to be patient with a weak believer. If you are praying for your church to grow, you have a good reason to believe that God will answer your prayer. Perhaps this weekend you might see your prayers begin to be answered. And as you have someone read that paragraph, you might want to just put a comment there or invite a comment. What would happen if God did answer our prayers? It'd be an interesting topic of discussion for your group. Question 4. Based on Romans chapter 15 verses 1 to 2, how do you hope your fellow church members will respond to those whom God may send in response to your prayers? So consider, how would God answer these prayers? Who's he going to send? Fully fledged Christians, people who are already discipled before they even give their lives to Christ? Highly unlikely. Probably broken, hurting, dysfunctional people may come in. So this is the discussion. Romans chapter 15 verse 2 says, let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. So how are we to respond, or how do you hope our fellow church members will respond to those whom God may send in response to our prayers? Well, hopefully they'll be patient with them. Hopefully they will have an attitude that says, I want to bless you. I want to build you up. Question 5. Have you ever visited a church where you didn't know anybody in it? From that visit, would you be likely to ever return? Why or why not? So this is a discussion question. Maybe people have had a past church experience. Maybe it was positive. Well, why was it positive? Maybe it was negative. Why was it negative? Let the group discuss this. And then the implication here is, well, what can we as a church learn? What can you in your church learn about these experiences that we've had? A sub-question, how would your impression have been affected if you were not a believer? Now, this will get us thinking even more. Let the discussion fly around the group. It may hopefully land where we discuss things that we do because we assume everybody knows this is how we do it. And so there's lots of assumptions that we as believers make that the unbeliever, the non-believer, isn't able to make. And another sub-question, what lessons from this can your church learn? A great discussion question. Question 6, based on Romans chapter 15, verse 3, which says, for Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. So based on that verse, what would you say to a strong brother or sister who only attended church when their favorite preacher was rostered on? Well, looking at that verse, Christ didn't live simply to please himself. He lived to please his Father, and that often cost him. So how might we respond to someone who only comes when the sermon's going to please them or appeal to them? Hopefully we're going to say, you know, to grow in Christ, you have to have a bit more of an outward focus. You have to realize that there will be times when someone's having a go. It's a younger person, perhaps, or a trainee preacher, and they're not going to be the finished product yet. They're not going to be as polished as perhaps our senior pastor or some of our guest preachers or whatever. So don't be picky and choosy. Let's be committed to the body and realize that God may actually be using you Sunday by Sunday to be the minister despite whoever's preaching. Interesting conversation to have. Question 7. What are the challenges that mature believers have to face in trying to help weaker brothers or sisters grow in Christ? Discuss. Well, the fact that weaker brothers or sisters or newer Christians, they're not fully formed yet. They don't know what the scripture talks about and discusses as far as Christian living even, but they're on that journey. So this is going to take patience. It's going to take forbearance. It's going to mean that you know which hills to die on, which battles to fight. There are some arguments that need to be had, but for the most part, with a young Christian, we shouldn't be entering into that level of conversation with them. We should be patient and bearing the load. Question 8. Based on Romans chapter 15, verses 1 to 3, how should we be praying for our church? Well, hopefully you pick up from these three verses that we should be praying our church will be patient, our church will be welcoming, our church will let things go and our church will learn to disciple young believers, not so that, you know, we're always getting what we want out of even the church service, but we're able to learn how to grow together and realize it's not always about me. It's about me, it's about the others, how I can be a blessing to them. And I hope that you pick that up out of these three verses. So there's lots of discussion I hope that you have in between these questions. And then at the end of the night, bring out those prayer points, remind the group of the prayer points, start on your left, have someone pray, pick one, and have everyone in the group pick one of the prayer requests. And if it comes back around to you as the one who closed in prayer for the night, then if there's any prayer requests that were missed or forgotten or whatever, just clean those up, pray for those. It may mean that you pray two or three of the prayer requests. And then close in prayer and ask God, you know, pray essentially what we've learned tonight out of this study. All right, God bless you. And in our next study, we'll be looking at Romans chapter 15, verses 4-7, which is entitled Be Harmonious. I'm Andrew Corbett. Thanks for doing these studies.